Someday my children will ask me where I was and what I was doing when the United States elected its first black president. I could tell my children, who are entirely hypothetical, call them Kermit and Hussein, that I was home at the time and, like hundreds of millions of other Americans, watching television. This would be a politician's answer, which is to say, factual but inaccurate in every important detail. Because Kermit and Hussein deserve an honestly itemized answer, I will tell them that, on November 4, 2008, their father was living in Tallinn, Estonia, where the American election day's waning hours were a cold, salmon-skied November 5th morning. My intention that day was to watch CNN International until the race was called. I will then be forced to tell Kermit and Hussein about what else happened on November 4th, 2008. The post-apocalyptic video game Fallout 3 had been officially released to the European market on October 30th, but in Estonia, it was nowhere to be found. For several weeks, Bethesda Softworks, Fallout 3's developer, had been posting online a series of promotional gameplay videos, which I had been watching and rewatching with fetish porn avidity. I left word with Tallinn's best game store, "Call me the moment Fallout 3 arrives." In the late afternoon of November 4th, they finally rang. When I slipped the game into the tray of my Xbox 360, the first polls were due to close in America in 2 hours. 1 hour of Fallout 3, I told myself. Maybe two. Absolutely no more than three. 7 hours later, blinking and dazed, I turned off my Xbox 360, checked in with CNN, and discovered that the acceptance speech had already been given. And so, my beloved Kermit, my dear little Hussein, at the moment America changed forever, your father was wandering an ICBM-denuded wasteland, nervously monitoring his radiation level, armed only with a baseball bat, 10-millimeter pistol, and 6 rounds of ammunition, in search of a vicious gang of Mohawked marauders who were 100% bad news and totally had to be dealt with. Trust Daddy on this one. Fallout 3 was Bethesda's first release since 2006's The Elder Scrolls IV: Oblivion. Both games fall within a genre known by various names, the open world or sandbox or free-roaming game. This genre is superintended by a few general conventions, which include the sensation of being inside a large and disinterestedly functioning world, a main storyline that can be abandoned for subordinate storylines, or for no purpose at all, large numbers of supporting characters with whom meaningful interaction is possible, and the ability to customize, or pimp, in the parlance of our time, the game's player-controlled central character. The pleasures of the open-world game are ample, complicated, and intensely private. Their potency is difficult to explain, sort of like religion, of which these games become, for many, an aspartame form. Because of the freedom they grant gamers, the narrative and mission-generating manner in which they reward exploration, and their convincing illusion of endlessness, the best open-world games tend to become leisure-time-eating viruses. As incomprehensible as it may seem, I have somehow spent more than 200 hours playing Oblivion. I know this because the game keeps a running tally of the total time one has spent with it. I can think of only one personal activity I would be less eager to see audited in this way, and it, too, is a single-player experience. It is difficult to describe Oblivion without atavistic fears of being savaged by the same jean-jacketed dullards who, in 1985, threw my Advanced Dungeons & Dragons Monster Manual 2 into Lake Michigan. That I did not even play D&D, and only had the book because I liked to look at the pictures, left my assailants unmoved. As to what Oblivion is about, I note the involvement of orcs and a summon skeleton spell, and leave it at that. So, 200 hours playing Oblivion? How is that even possible? I am not actually sure. Completing the game's narrative missions took a fraction of that time. But in the world of Oblivion, you can also pick flowers, explore caves, dive for treasure, buy houses, bet on gladiatorial arena fights, hunt bear, and read books. Oblivion is less a game than a world that best rewards full citizenship, and for a while I lived there and claimed it. At the same time, I was residing in Rome on a highly coveted literary fellowship, surrounded by interesting and brilliant people, and quite naturally mired in a lagoon of depression more dreadfully lush than any before or since. I would be lying if I said Oblivion did not, in some ways, aggravate my depression, but it also gave me something with which to fill my days other than pyrrhonic self-hatred. It was an extra life. I am grateful to have had it.